Good morning. Welcome to our Christmas in July service. I'm super excited about it. We have just a couple announcements this morning. We would like to welcome our new custodian, Ron Anderson. So if you see him in the building, make sure you say hello. The sanctuary is open for services, weddings, funerals, and small meetings, but we have a max of 50 people. We also ask that masks are worn and practice social distancing and sanitization. We also ask that before you leave today, you wipe down the area where you are sitting with disinfectant wipes that are at the end of your pew. I would also like to take a moment to thank everyone who helped make this service possible today. Mark, Bob, and Mark as our tech people, Howard for doing the reading, Jason on the organ, Matt as our song leader, and Beth as the assisting minister. Let us turn our hearts to worship.
As Solomon prays for wisdom, we seek to more deeply know the treasures of faith. In today's gospel, Jesus offers everyday images that reveal to us the reign of God. A tree that becomes a sheltering home, yeast that permeates and expands, a treasured pearl, a net that gains a great catch. Even as we seek the riches of God's reign, the great surprise is that God's grace finds us first.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives.
We place our hope in ourselves,
and we rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all.
We abuse your good creation for our own benefit.
We fear difference, and we do not welcome others. As you have welcomed us, we sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us.
Through your love, renew us.
In your spirit, lead us. So that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen.
Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for all glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of 1 Kings, 3rd chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am an only child, a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." The second lesson is from the book of Romans, 8th chapter, beginning at the 26th verse. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, so we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of God, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us. And will we not be with him? Also, give us everything else. Who will bring any change against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life. May we rightly understand and boldly apply God's word.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which some found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. Merry Christmas. Okay, that was a little weird because it is clearly not Christmas. It's July and it's really hot outside and we can't even wear Christmas sweaters because we will probably suffocate from all the heat. How many of you follow the 11th commandment? Anybody? Couple? For those of you who don't know, the 11th commandment says, "Thou shall not sing Christmas songs before Thanksgiving." Normally, I follow this commandment very strictly. No Christmas music or putting up decorations until after Thanksgiving. That's the rule, and there are no exceptions. Well, guess what? We're breaking that commandment today. And although we should always be striving to follow the commandments, I think God will be okay if we break this one. As I began to prepare for this message, I came to realize that Christmas is more than just a holiday in December. It's more than the Christmas trees, lights, cookies, and gifts. Christmas is more, and it should be. It's a celebration, a time to praise God. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, the man who died on the cross to save each and every one of us, our King, born as a little baby in the stable. That is who we are celebrating. As Christians, we know we need to praise God in all seasons, the good and the bad. So why do we only celebrate Christmas in December? Why do we only set aside 30 days to praise God for the amazing and miraculous gift of His Son and our Savior? This morning, I'm going to pick apart our gospel reading just a little bit. We're going to start with the mustard seed, a small, teeny tiny little seed that's going to be the biggest of the shrubs in the trees. This small seed can easily be taken for granted. I mean, if you hold it in your hand, you can barely see it. Well, this tiny seed has a big job, and God has a plan for this seed. It's going to be greater than we can possibly imagine. This seed is like Jesus. Jesus didn't come to earth as a big and powerful king. He came as a baby. But he doesn't stay there in that stable. That little baby Jesus becomes a shelter and a home for all of us. Just like that tiny mustard seed that grows into a big tree and becomes shelter for a bird, Jesus protects us and gives us a place to rest. Now I want you to take a minute and imagine you're walking through a big, open, beautiful field. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping. You're walking along and you come across a treasure that is nothing like you've ever seen. Would you just leave that treasure there and walk away? Absolutely not. You would leave everything else behind and stay with that treasure. This is exactly what Christians are called to do with Jesus. We leave our worldly passions and desires behind and we run to this baby who becomes a man and sacrificed his life for us. We run to the treasure that brings us joy, but that's not it. This treasure, Jesus Christ, is bigger than that. He rose from the dead and he brought us with him. We are tied to him in his resurrection, and that is not something we can walk away from. Jesus is our treasure and our joy. He is all we need and he will sustain us. Okay, so we obviously know Jesus is important and we need to celebrate Christmas year round, but how do we do that? How do we actively keep the Christian spirit alive in us and in everything we do? According to the blog Positively Present, there are 4 steps. Step 1, focus on what you have. During the holidays, we take extra time to be thankful and appreciate all the things we have and the people around us that we get to share it with. That is something we should practice all year long. We are all so blessed, and we need to remember that. We especially need to keep this in mind when we come across things that we want but don't really need, which is something I really struggle with. We are blessed, and God has provided for us in ways we can't even comprehend. Focus on what you have. Step 2, know what really matters. During Christmas, I feel like we all take the time to really listen to each other more than usual. We appreciate the time and the little things that come along being surrounded by friends and family. What if we didn't take that for granted and we appreciated the time we get to spend with those around us more? What if we made more time for those we care about the most? What if we didn't let work in the outside world take over what is most important? Know what really matters. Step 3, treat others with kindness. Around the Christmas season, we focus more on family and being nice to them. And it's easy because this season is a time of joy and happiness. But after Christmas is over, we tend to go back to our crabby and sometimes even mean selves. But what if we didn't? What if we were kind, caring, and compassionate to our family and neighbors all year round? Wouldn't the world be a little bit brighter? Treat others with kindness. The last step, look for the good. During Christmas, I think we all look for those little Christmas miracles. We smile more to spread the joy, we come together in community, and we strive to see the good in those around us. Finding the good and having that optimism is, to me, one of the things that makes the Christmas season so special. So what if we took the time to find the good? What if we had a little longer conversation with someone to break their hard outside shell and see the true beauty within? Look for the good. Now, these steps are not easy, and we won't be able to do each one every day for the entire year. But what if we tried a little bit harder? What if we focused more on Jesus and our family? What if we remembered God's amazing gift? What if we treated people around us the way we want to be treated? And what if we found the wheat or Jesus in every person we meet? Now, I know I've been asking a lot of what if questions here, but when we live each day in the Christmas spirit, we can feel the kingdom of heaven draw near. We can see more clearly the blessings that God has given us, the miracle of our salvation through the birth of Jesus, and the joy that comes from knowing God and sharing that with our friends and family. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Baby Boy by For King and Country. It's not a very common song, so if you haven't heard it, I highly suggest you go look it up. My favorite part of the song says, "The king is coming down and he's here without a crown. The baby boy without a bed, giving life back to the dead." This song proves that there is so much more to celebrate than just a birthday. The end of the chorus says, "Alleluia, endless hope and relentless joy started with a baby boy." They have another song on that album called Glorious, and the chorus says, "He is the chorus to every song that we were born to sing. He is the rhythm of your heart, so let the beat begin." I don't know about you guys, but to me, this sounds like a cause for a Jesus party, a party that lasts all year. I love Jesus parties. I mean, who wouldn't? This guy, Jesus Christ, is amazing, and he and God deserve all the praise in the world. I remember one time back in college, my roommate was having a hard time, and I said, "Let's have a dance party." That dance party quickly became a Jesus party. I didn't tell my roommate this, but as we danced our worries and stress away, I could feel Jesus dancing there with us. Jesus deserves a party every way because he did what no man could ever do. I want to encourage you to live every day like it's a Jesus party. Each morning, the sun comes up, the birds chirp, the wind blows, and everything is made new. We have so much to be thankful for. The same goes for celebrating Christmas. Jesus' birth is so much more than just a birthday. It is the moment the world changed. Celebrate that every day because our King is alive and well. And Merry Christmas. Amen.
Beneath
Living together in faith and trust, we confess our beliefs in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Confident in your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the Church, the world, and all who are in need.
Merciful God, your reign is revealed to us in common things, a mustard shrub, a woman baking bread, a fishing net. Help your Church witness to the surprising yet common ways you encounter us in daily life. Lord, in your mercy.
When your word is open, it gives light and understanding. Increase our understanding and awe of your creation. Guide the work of scientists and researchers. Treasuring the earth, may we live as grateful and healing caretakers of our home. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. As the birds of the air nest in branches of trees, gather the nations of the world into welcoming shade of your merciful reign. Direct leaders of nations to build trust with each other and walk in the ways of peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Your Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for the saints according to your will. Help us when we do not know how to pray. Give comfort to the dying, refuge to the weary, justice to those who are oppressed, and healing to the sick, especially Harold and Marilyn Wingerson, Gary Weidenfield, Curtis Stover and family, Tim Brainerd, Jodine Rizigi, Rosemary Stickrod, Renee Powell, Donna Smith, Scott Otto, Teresa Copps, David Halsrud, Bev Carlson, Charles Coleman, and Trisha Larson's family and friends. Lord, in your mercy.
You show steadfast love and direct us to ask you for what we need. Help this congregation ask boldly for what is most needed. Refresh us with new dreams of being your people in this place. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. In you, our lives are never lost. Strengthen us by the inspiring witness of your people in all times and places. Embolden our witness now, and one day gather us with all your saints in light. Lord, in your mercy.
In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord is with you always.
And also with you.
Now we will take a moment to share an air peace or a high five.
At this time, we will receive our offering for the mission and ministry of the Church. You can do so at the PayPal link below the Vanco app, or by dropping it in our offering plate at the end of the sanctuary, or by mailing a check to the Church. We appreciate your good gifts as they further sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song.
Amen.
We will now pray the words our Father gave us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now receive the blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God, the Creator, Jesus, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
With you.